Okay, back to Hanukkah. Let's learn some practical dinim that you need yet for Sunday night, which is Hanukkah. Okay, lechatchila, it's best to use olive oil for the candles. Why? Because in the Beis HaMikdash, they used olive oil to commemorate the miracle that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. So ideally, you should use oil. So Chabad custom is we use oil, but for the Shamis, to light the others, our custom is to use a beeswax candle. We don't use oil, we use a beeswax candle. Halachically, all oils are kosher for Hanukkah, the Gemara says. Now, there's a very interesting shaila in halacha, but...
I'm sorry, what do you mean beeswax or shamis?
Because beeswax, halachically, is second to olive oil in prominence, in the clarity of the flame. So that's the second best oil, halachically.
Why not also use?
No, because for the Shamus, besides the fact, it's very impractical. But there's another inyan, Shamus should be higher than the rest. The pearl, that's what the meaning is. Now the question is, one second, the question is, like olive oil, nowadays, olive oil needs a heksher, unless if it's extra virgin, cold pressed, but generally speaking, olive oil today needs a heksher. So the question is, must you buy for Hanukkah olive oil that dafka has a hechsher? Or if it's not so kosher, you're not eating it, you're lighting it for the menorah. So there's a big machlekes in halacha. By Sefer Teda, tefillin and mezuzis, everybody agrees what you write the Sefer Teda on, the leather, the parchment, has to be, it doesn't have to be shechted. It has to be from a kosher animal. The ink has to be kosher ink. You can't take, used to make oil, ink out of fats, whatever. It has to be kosher. That everybody be safe. In turn, it's filling a mezuzah, because over there, as we say in Vayedaber, we say in Rabbeinu Tam's Tillin, says, Lamantia teiras Hashem beficha. That the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth. The Gemara learns out, min amutarim beficha. It has to be something permissible to eat, so therefore tefillin, sefer Torah, mezuzah must be kosher animals, kosher ink and everything. So now the question is, by other mitzvahs, does that also apply? So there's a big machlekes in poskim. Some poskim say, by biblical mitzvahs, it has to be something kosher. Non-biblical mitzvahs, it doesn't. Some poskim hold, even rabbinic mitzvahs should be only kosher. L'peril, we poskim, based on the Torah's chesed and others, that rabbinic mitzvahs do not have to be made from kosher things. And therefore, if somebody wants to get olive oil, that, let's see, there's a sale on olive oil, it doesn't have a hechsher, so obviously you can't use it in your food. But as far as lighting the menorah, it's not a problem with it. What dishes? The jars. I'm saying if the minimal amount of treif in it is not going to make a problem for the kalim. It's definitely not going to make a problem for the sink. It's not going to be a problem. But
I would assume the olive oil for the menorah was really have to be kosher, because when they have the jar, they didn't need to eat.
Not kosher. They had to be pure. The Beis HaMikdash had to be pure. Today the oil is not pure anyway. But pure, not kosher. Pure.
Pure.
Yeah, that it was pure. That it didn't become tummy. Not that it was kosher. But there's another interesting thing. If you look in... One second. If you go buy menorahs today, Hanukkah menorahs today, they come with all these crazy designs. You know, up and down. Halacha says the candles have to be on the same level. You can't have one up, one down.
Except Shabbat.
Well, except one second. The Shamus, the custom is, has to be separate from the rest. That's halacha, because then otherwise you won't know which one's the Shamus, which one's the candles. But in Kabbalah, and in our minig is, that the Shamus should be above the candles. And that's based on the pasuk that says, Srafim Eimdim Mimalei, that the Srafim stand above the Eifanim, above the other Malachim. And what's interesting is Serafim means Saraf, you know, the lights, the fire. That's the Shamus. Eimdim Mimal Loi, Loi is Lamed Vav. If you count, excluding the Shamus, How many candles do we light on Hanukkah? 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 8 equals 36. If you buy a box of candles, it says 44, because you have 36 for the menorah, and then the 8 candles for the shamasim. So therefore, the remez is, srafim ein de mimal loy, loy is lamed vav, that the light, the one that you light, the other candles, which should be above the other 36.
You don't need actual menorah for that.
No, technically, you can use, in Europe, when people had no money, they used to take a potato, you know, make holes in it, and put candles in, or oil. When we were growing up in yeshiva, not like today's kids have money. The kids didn't have, nobody had money. So they would take even bottle caps, fill them up with oil, stick a wick in. That's what a lot of guys in my time did. That there was nothing else to use. They couldn't afford buying a menorah. They didn't have the cheap menorahs like they have today. So we used to use, the guys used to use, I personally didn't, I had other things, but the guys would use a bottle, because if you fill it up with oil, it will burn.
The one you screw on?
The one you screw on, or that, what?
There's a few people lighting them in the same house. Is it preferable or necessary that each have their own shamish, or can there be one shamish for a few minutes?
The reason why there's a shamish is because in case you're benefiting from the candles, it should be considered, you're not allowed to benefit from Hanukkah candles. Unlike Shabbos candles, where the mitzvah is to benefit from the candle, and therefore you can only use certain oils for Shabbos candles. The Mishnah Torah and the Gemara talks about in the second parak of Shabbos, which are proper flames, and therefore you won't come to make it bigger, smaller. Hanukkah, all the oils are kosher, because you're not allowed to benefit from the lamp. So we're not afraid you're going to... So the reason why you have a Shabbos primarily is... In case you're benefiting from the other candles, you can consider benefiting from the shamas rather than from the other candle. But technically, if you have one shamas for a bunch of people, it's fine. But the meaning is everybody tries to have their own menorah, their own. But two people shouldn't use the same menorah. Let's say it's on the first, the third night of Hanukkah. Yeah, so a guy will light the first three. And another guy will light the second three. I mean, you know, the last three. That you're not allowed to do, because then it looks like one person's lighting it, six candles. So in one minute it says you shouldn't have a few people lighting. In fact, it also is brought down in Halacha, you shouldn't have at one night yourself, half, let's say it's the fourth night, you're going to use two oil and two candles. You shouldn't do that because they're not even. It's going to look like two separate people are lighting and they're going to think it's the second night. But if I want to use, let's say, one night oil and one night candles, then I'm allowed to do.
Did
the
work?
Huh? Did you have one candle is enough? So, yeah, but it's not... what?
Three candles on the flat surface, just raise the shamash.
Yeah, that's what people would do.
What?
Huh? We'll get to girls in a second, but our meaning is not that you ask. The Rebbe writes clearly, girls don't bench their own licht. Now, women are obligated in Hanukkah menorah. Therefore, if a woman lives alone, a girl lives alone, girls are in a dorm, whatever, at least one of them has an obligation to bench licht for everybody. And everybody should chip in, you know, to pay, that then they participate in the actual, you know, menorah lighting. But the minig is, if there's men in the house, the women don't light the Shabbos candles, light the Hanukkah candles. Huh? Even little girls, one year the Rebbe said they should, and the other years the Rebbe didn't want. The Rebbe wanted, the Rebbe said, girls light Shabbos candles, boys light Hanukkah candles. But it's not. There's a lot of reasons some poskim say because the girls didn't know how to make a bracha. Some people say the reason why girls wouldn't light separately because in the time of the Gemara, they would light it a Pesach Meisi Mibachutz. They would light the menorah outside of the courtyard facing the street. That means you have to go into the street to light the candles. And Kol Kvudah Basmalach Pnimah, women don't belong in the street, time of the Gemara at least. So therefore, the Mepharshim say, therefore the husband did it for them, the brothers do it for them. But if a woman lives alone, The din is they have to light the candles. If little girls want to light the candle, I wouldn't put up a fight with it. And if they want to do it, let them do it. But once they get older already, they shouldn't be doing it.
You should limit it to only doing it in potatoes.
In potatoes, yeah. What? Potato chips.
So a girl comes home late for
that
night.
Huh?
A girl comes home late at night. She wants to light that candle.
If a girl comes home late at night and the father already lit, I'll be din she was yaitzah from the father's lighting even if she wasn't there. That's the din. You have a lot of times, in fact, I had this already a few times this year, people are traveling during Hanukkah. So if you have an overseas flight, or if you're on the plane overseas, yeah? So let's say you have a 5 o'clock flight overseas. So you have to be there 3 hours before, 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock is too early to light the candles. So what do? So if there's a parent home, a spouse home, or somebody in the family lighting at home, they have them in mind, they don't be in the yaitzah, because they're not able to light in the airport, especially not nowadays. No, really, years ago, maybe you were able to go in a corner and light the... But we'll learn those dinim during Hanukkah. It's not so relevant to the beginning of Hanukkah that if a person is traveling, so who lights him? Does his wife light for him? Should he light? Who should light first, him or the wife? And the whole thing in halacha. Now, ideally, somebody should have, it says in halacha, a beautiful menorah. If able to, they should buy a silver menorah. That's what it says in halacha, because it's hidden mitzvah. It beautifies the mitzvah to have a beautiful menorah. And you beautify the mitzvah that way.
Is there a problem with having a gold menorah besides
silver? A gold menorah, as long as it's not a replica of the menorah, the Mishkan. But I have to explain what that means. You're not allowed to have a metal menorah with 7 candles. Okay? Let's say a woman has 5 kids. So her and her husband are 7 people in the family. And she wants to get a beautiful silver menorah for Shabbos candles. Yeah? With 7 branches. Yeah? You're not allowed to. Even if it's not silver, if it's not gold, if it's metal, if it's wood, doesn't matter. You're not allowed to make replicas of the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash.
The shape
doesn't matter. No.
Glass or clay
would be okay. If it would be rounded also. Number 7, you're not, this is in Shchnorach. You're not allowed to make, the Rambam says it also, the Hilchos Beis Avchir, Rambam says it, but it's in Shchnorach. No, it doesn't have to be. I'm saying if it's metal, 7, you're not allowed to make a replica like that. If it's not metal, because then it wasn't kosher, never. Even in the Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam says, in the Beis HaMikdash, when the Jews went up to build the second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have any money. So they made the menorah, the big menorah, out of copper. Then they had more money, but the Rambam writes, the menorah must be made from metal. So therefore, if it's not metal, it's wood, glass, then there's no replica anywhere of a menorah. But because the menorah would be kosher with any metal menorah that has 7, you're not allowed to use. What?
There's a public lighting at 5 o'clock. Is it better to be at home, light as soon as possible, and wait? Or is it better to light later after?
If the family is going to be up, if the family is going to be all together, you can light later.
But if Chabad doesn't hit public, you have to attend the public.
That's the biblical mitzvah. The rabbinic mitzvah is to go home and light your menorah. That's rabbinic. The biblical mitzvah is when Chabad makes a public menorah. You know how you know it's a biblical mitzvah? You know when you're doing something right? When people complain. If people don't complain about the way you do things, then you're not doing anything right. We know that. That's what life's all about. The fact that people come out against the public menorah lightings, that itself shows that it's biblically important. The mitzvah Chanukah, you light the rabbinically, you light a menorah, so then you light a menorah, it's no big deal. You know, that's rabbinic. But don't trust me, it's true. Okay? Somebody that nobody has any complaints against is not doing anything. Because whenever you do, people will have complaints. So the fact that people are against the menorah and then they came out again today, this week, you're allowed to make a brach on the menorah. This godel says no, and this godel says no, and this godel says yes, and this. The Pearl Rebbe knew they were making brachas on the menorah, and it's not any different than the menorah and the shul that you make a bracha, even though people want to differentiate between the two, but it's totally illogical what they say, push it in common sense. And the Rebbe was in Hanukkah Live when they had the satellites all around the world. The Rebbe was watching them make a bracha in Paris and in Russia on the public menorahs, and the Rebbe was answering Amen. And, you know, the Rebbe's opinion was not that you could make a bracha on a public menorah. So the fact that people make a problem with it shows that it's a good thing to do.